Because today's a special celebration for Gil and Sherry Wooden. And if you have the bulletin, Gil, I met Gil through Rocky Mountain Christian High School when we needed a place to put our kids in so they could have more fellowship with some other students, because we had homeschooled our kids all their lives. And they started coming to the church here around 2000, I believe it was, and started teaching here. When we started a school here, Will Parsons and Autumn, they did the first year, and then Gil took it over after that, and he's been here for just teaching for 10 solid years. And we just want to honor Gil and Sherry today for 48 years, guys. 48 years teaching in the Helena community. Can you say praise the Lord for that? And I talked with Gil and Sherry, and they think they probably had about at least 6,000 students. And I wish there was some way we could get a hold of all those students that Gil taught. But Gloria came up with the idea that, you know, since we don't know where those students are at, we're just going to put up a billboard. And so there's a billboard in town now honoring Gil. And matter of fact, it looks just like this this little picture that we have of Gil and Sherry. And we were talking with Laura the other day, and she said, "You guys are so mean. You are so mean, because Gil is the most humble person. My daddy is the most humble person in the world." And she said, "I know, and he has to look at it every day when he goes into town." So anyway, we just honored them. So after the second service, we're going to have a pot blessed meal. We invite you to come back for that from 12:30 to 1. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a special time of a special tribute for Gil at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Also, tonight at 6 to 7, we have just a real precious, sweet time of just for those who want to come. And it's just kind of a time of worship and praise around the altar. Last Sunday night, we had about 25, 30 people show up for that. And somebody said it was a great watering time. And what they meant by that, it was there wasn't a dry eye. Matter of fact, we had two Japanese ladies, you remember them, they're here last week, and we had them come up and pray for them, and they just cried and cried. And Japanese don't do that. And we're afraid that you got the wrong impression, because they're they're very stoic, but they just melted in the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen to that? And yesterday we saw them we saw them off as they flew back to Japan. And again, you know, we had a time of prayer, and I can't say how much I appreciate Brother Gil and Sherry and all that they do here at Last Chance Chapel. I told Gil yesterday, he's a very hard man to compete with in his faithfulness and in his character, his love for the Lord and his dedication. He's here every time the church doors open, and he... Again, 48 years teaching in our public schools and then in private schools, and then also here at Last Chance Academy, then Bird's Eye Christian Academy. We just want to give honor to whom honor is due. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And amen. And besides all that, it is his birthday today. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gil, Bethany, Linda, Gloria. Happy birthday to you. Let's give him one more clap offering. God bless you, Gil.
Let's see. Yep, I'm on. This is Memorial Day, so before I... Well, John said I was supposed to share, so I thought I'd share with my life what's happened in my life and how God has played a hand in it. But before I do that, since it's a memorial weekend, two things I want to bring up or mention, stories kind of. One, our son is in North Dakota. And this past week he was driving along and saw a flagpole, and the American flag was all tattered and torn. So he thought, this is not good. He served in Desert Storm. as a CB building stuff, so he loves his country, and he went and bought a flag, took it back to the pole, but the cords you pull weren't working. So he had to climb the flagpole to put the new flag on and climb it down. His first attempt to climb the pole didn't quite work out, so he had to do it twice. So I thought I'd share that. Also, I'm reading The Grand Weaver by Rave Zacharias, or however you pronounce his first name. Anyway, it's about how God's influence weaves through our lives. And he has a story, well, it's not a story, it's a true accounting of the Astoria in World War II. And there was a signalman, third class, Elgin Staples, who was serving aboard the ship. And he got the story out of the United States Naval Institute after the Second World War. Anyway, the story was ahead of the fleet, having a battle with the Japanese ship, and they were shooting back and forth, and he was doing real damage, or they were, to the Japanese ship. But Elgin was standing next to a gun turret, 8-inch gun. It exploded, blew him off the ship. He had a life belt on, but he went into the water. He was wounded in both legs with shrapnel. He was in this semi-state of shock. He was in the ocean for 4 hours. The story got up steam, found him, took him aboard. And the captain was trying to save this ship. There was a lot of damage to it. So he was trying to get to where there was a sandbar so the ship wouldn't sink. Didn't make it. The ship sunk. Elgin was in the ocean again, worried about whether he was going to make it or not. This time the USS President Jackson came along, picked him up. There were 500 men that survived the battle. He was on leave at home, talking about his experiences and explaining what had happened to him, why he was able to be on leave. And his life belt, he was telling his family, they were gathered around, was very important to him because it saved his life twice. And his mom worked for Firestone, and the life belt had a stamp on it made by Firestone. And so he told his mom all about it and described the belt. He said, "Mom, there was a number on it. What in the world is the number for?" She says, "Well, when they're manufactured, there's an inspector. The inspector has to put their number on the belt. They want that done so that the inspector will have pride in their work and the belts will be top quality." He says, "Oh, really?" He says, "I memorized that number." He says, "I memorized everything about the belt." She says, "Oh, really? What was the number?" He read off the number. She just was in a state of shock because it was her number. She had inspected that belt that saved his life. So God plays a hand in all aspects of our life. And when I read that, it brought tears to my eyes. So I just thought I'd share it with you. And the other part of sharing I thought I'd do is just parts of our life where God has had an influence. Went to CSU, met my wonderful wife there. We got married. First teaching job was in Wyoming. And I was hired, had a huge salary, $4,800. That included pay for coaching wrestling and coaching track. And we were there the first year. I helped coach wrestling, and it went well. The only problem was we were a little bitty high school. We had to compete against Cheyenne and Laramie, and those schools had a couple thousand kids. We had a couple hundred on a good day. Anyway, went in the summer back to CSU to get my master's degree. And so at the end of the first school year, we went to Fort Collins. Came back, found out Hilgendorf, who had been the head wrestling coach, had gone up to Billings, to the Catholic high school. And so they had hired a man to be the head wrestling coach. And I was not a happy camper, because the man they hired was a high school hero because he had played football for them, then went on and played for the Boston Patriots. But, big but, he knew nothing about wrestling. So the whole job of coaching fell upon me. But he was getting paid to be the head coach. So because of that, 2 years was plenty enough to be in Wyoming. And so God brought us up here, applied for other places, but one of our requirements was to be by the mountains. Got up here, moved our stuff into the basement of Central School, and went back to CSU for summer school. Was at my parents' house, the phone rang. Was Fort Collins School District offering me a job. Would have taken it, except we'd already put all our stuff up here in Helena, Montana. So I think God played a hand in that to bring us here. We were here for a long time. But so you can look back and see things and see how God played a hand in it. Then I was teaching math at Helena High, and I came from a conservative background, went to college when people were very conservative and had mental pictures of different people and whether they were worth anything or not. And one day the principal came up to me and he says, "Gil, I want you to teach the pregnant girls during your free period." And I thought, who, me? Teach them? They're not deserving of having special attention. Back in those days, they didn't put them in the regular classroom. So during my free period, which I figured I better give up, I worked with the girls that were pregnant. Came to admire them. One of them drove all the way from Lincoln all year long to have me help her in math. So my total attitude towards those type of girls changed completely. And my attitude became, they're nice people, they've just made a mistake. They're paying dearly for it. So that prepared me for later on. Coached wrestling. When Capitol High started, I wanted to be the head wrestling coach. And I was really kind of stupid because Capitol High didn't have all 4 years of students. So I got the job. First wrestling match out of 12 wrestlers that we put out on the varsity. 7 of them had never seen a wrestling match. Obviously, we didn't get a lot of victories. We won one match the whole year. So my tenure of coaching wrestling wasn't the longest. Later on in coaching, I became a cross-country coach. And this is where what I told you about the girl at Helena High impacted me. Had great success. We were doing well. Then, towards the end of one summer, when practice had started, one of the girls came up to me and said, "Mr. Wooden, I'm pregnant." The old Mr. Wooden would have said, "That's too bad. You can't run on my team." But because of my experience with girls that were expecting, I said, "Would you like me to tell the team?" And she said, "No, let me tell them later on." So we worked out, ran. She ran on varsity. She was an excellent athlete. Towards the end of the season, she told the kids. She came back and ran the next year. She went to the assembly, married the father of the child, became very active. They took married couples down to Colorado to conventions. If God had not brought me into the teaching of pregnant girls, I would have kicked her off the team. I don't think she would have become an active Christian if I would have. So God played a real strong hand in influencing me, preparing me for dealing with something like that. So in your life, as you're moving along, make sure you pay attention to what's happening. Because if you don't, you may miss opportunities like that. Also, coaching cross country, we took the team up to our property on Flesher Pass. And we would run up what Sherry calls Huckleberry Lane. Some of the parents brought the kids up for us to make the run one time. And we had prayer, we ran, we came back. And at the end, when everyone was getting ready to go home, he'd take the rest of them home, the man who helped bring kids up talked to me and he said, "You know, this is the most spiritual thing I've ever experienced." I had not planned it that way. But he said that. Found out later on that they'd been having marital problems. They solved them, became very active in their church. Being a normal person, I like to think that the experience he had with us played a part in that. Also, our meets were always on a golf course. We would always hold hands and pray before the meet, which I doubt if you can do anymore. But even at that time, they were telling people you can't pray. But we always did. And I figured, I'll do it until someone says we can't. Impacted not only the runners, but the parents. We were a decent team, so we always got invited up to Great Falls where they had the champions go at the end of the season. And we were holding hands praying, and in the background I heard a group of the parents praying with us. So you never know how God's going to use you, but don't back away from serving God. Don't back away from praying to God, because you never know who that's going to impact. So that was a great experience. Our desire when we moved to Montana was to live out in the country. But teachers don't make a lot of money. Anyway, the Hare Ranch was going to be auctioned off. And it was huge. If you look at the subdivision down by the fairgrounds, that was part of it. Scratch Gravel Hills on the south exposure was part of it. Thousands of acres. So Sherry and I drove over parts of it, looked at it, talked about it, even went with the salesman, and the salesman was driving us around, and he said, "How much do you think this will go per acre?" And I says, "Well, the cheapest," because we'd been looking for property, "cheapest property we've seen is $500 an acre." He says, "Okay, just wanted to know." So we rode with him. He showed us different stuff that we had already seen on our own, and we pretty much decided we couldn't afford that, so we weren't going to go to the auction. We had some friends that were Christians. We wouldn't have known them if we hadn't have gone to church with them. They said, "Why don't you go to the auction with us?" I said, "Oh, okay." Had the auction in the gym. And we went. Auctioneers were from down south. Had this accent like you couldn't believe. And they go fast anyway, but they took off. What are they at? But they had like four men that walked around through the crowd. So if you wanted to bid, you could raise your hand. They'd come over and they'd interpret, because they didn't have the southern accent. And they would bid for you. So we sat there, and the fairground stuff went first. Pretty pricey. And I was thinking, why did we even bother to come? And the lots were each 10 acres. So we were sitting there. They got out to the part that we were really interested in because it bordered BLM. The price of the property we'd been looking at was pretty pricey, so we didn't even bid. But they got to the area next to it. Well, what they did is they'd auction off. If you won the bid, you got to pick as many acres as you wanted for that price. So we started bidding, won the bid. For 40 acres, we paid $6,400. A gift from God, for sure. So then we built our house for the land, the 40 acres, which is 10 lots, the house, and we built it ourselves. We had some Christian friends that we had helped build a CAP home. In a CAP home, they give you sell you the materials. You build it, they frame it up, and you do everything else yourself. For the 40 acres, the house, the construction of it, around $26,000. That's total. Huge gift from God. Just go out someday and price one of the lots next to BLM land. It's a little more, or a lot more, than what we paid. But God was in it, and He blessed us tremendously. And I'm here to tell you, you know, make sure you're aware of what's happening in your life. Make sure the way God speaks to you. The other part is Christian education. We were going to Hannaford. I retired from the school district in 94. The pastor came up to me and said, "Gil, we're thinking of starting a Christian school. Would you help in the planning process?" I said, "Sure, I'll help in the planning process." But that's all I wanted to do, because in my master's degree, it was in math education, so I had to take a bunch of math classes, a bunch of education classes. And with the education classes, I shorted myself one class, so I couldn't get a certified administrator certificate. Because I knew Gil would never be a school administrator, because I'd seen all the problems they have. And I didn't want to have to deal with any of those problems. So it was like, okay, we'll help you. One of my friends was Damon Shalinsky, and he was helping plan it too. And he said, "After we get the school up and going, Gil, you'll be the administrator." And I looked at him and I said, "You're crazy. No way will I be the administrator." We're on a cruise in Alaska, visiting with some people. People we hardly even knew. And they asked about what I did. Told them I'd retired, but we were working on starting a Christian school. Guess what they said? "And you'll be the administrator." And I said, "No way. No way will I do that." So everywhere we went, visiting with people, and they'd say, "Oh, and you'll be the administrator." It's like, no, it's not my plan. But you know, God speaks to people in different ways. In the Bible, it was a still, small voice. To me, it was through the voice of all of these people that we met along the way. So, guess what? I finally caved in and thought, God must be wanting me to be the administrator, so I better do it. So we opened the school up. First day we had 18 students. By the end of the year we had 28. While I was there, we went up to 72 students, and it was just a high school. So we had the 4 years. But God blessed it greatly, and it grew. The other thing is, sometimes if you're the administrator, well, not if, Your job is to make sure you have teachers. 1 year, tomorrow, school opens, no English teacher. It's like, oh no. We prayed about it all the time, and we've been praying day in and day out that we'd have a good staff. About noon, a lady walks in, says, I'm interested in teaching here. Really? Yes. And Gil says, and what subject are you interested in teaching? I'm an English teacher. Holly Hoskins came in the day before school started. English teacher, certified to teach English, and answered our prayer. Just incredible. So the other thing is, in your lifetime, make sure you're covering yourself and your family in prayer. For Sherry and myself, we should have been covering our children in prayer from day one on up. And we didn't. And we paid a price for that. So, one, listen to how God may speak to you. And when He speaks, make sure you respond and follow His lead. Two, pray. Like I said, we've been praying for an English teacher. God's timing is not ours. I was getting an ulcer. But God knew He was going to supply an English teacher. So pray, and God will answer the prayer. Cover your family in prayer, your kids growing up. One of the things I found out is the parents are the last to know when their children are going astray. I used to interview people when they wanted to enroll their sons and daughters. There was a man and his son sitting there across the desk from me. I was visiting with him. And the subject of drinking and staying out late at night came up. And I said to the boy, I says, and you, after your parents are asleep, sneak out and go drinking. The boy said, how'd you know? That's right. The dad turned his head so fast, it's amazing he didn't break his neck. That's the first time the dad ever knew that his son was doing anything like that. So make sure you understand what your children are up to. Make sure you know what they're doing. And most important, make sure from the time they're born, you're covering them with prayer. Because if not, bad things can happen. And we live in a day and age where things are just going down the tubes. For the National Day of Prayer, we showed our kids Monumental, which goes back over the history of our country. Blew me away, because one of the things they pointed out was in the beginning of our country, the government bought Bibles for the schools. Oh, can you imagine that happening today? Today, if you take a Bible into the school, the government will probably take it away from you. What a change. When I graduated from high school, you had two ceremonies. One was baccalaureate, which was like a church service on one night. On the next night, or two nights away, was graduation. How many schools have a church service before they have graduation today? None that I know of. So things have changed. Your sons and daughters are in school all day long. The influence is incredible, be it in a Christian environment or a secular environment. Both have a strong influence. So you need to take a look and see what you desire for your sons and daughters. Or in this church, I should also include the grandchildren. But things are different than they used to be. And with that, I'd just like to close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the country we live in. Thank you for the freedoms we still have. We pray that you just help us be open to your leading and guidance. We pray that we'd be willing to follow you. We pray for protection for our families and our friends. We pray that we'd go out and be mighty witnesses for Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.